Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello, this is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report. This is part two of an interview that we're sending to radio stations, Christian radio stations all over the country, about my new book, Trump Aftershock. I'm doing a lot of media. Thankfully, I'm on some major media in the next couple of weeks, and we're trying to get the word out. And a lot of the Christian people who are interested in what Donald Trump is doing listen to Christian talk radio. And I've done a lot of radio programs. I've already done several for this book. I'll do many more. But this is a way that we could make it available, I think, to 1,200 Christian radio stations around the country. And yesterday, I played the first half. Today, I'm going to play the second half. And I hope that you enjoy it. But first, let me remind you to go to our website, which is TrumpAftershock.com. That's the name of the book, TrumpAftershock.com. And if you will, go ahead and pre-order the book from several retailers such as Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and ChristianBookDistributors.com, and then put the code on the form on the website. We will send you some free stuff, which includes a subscription to Charisma Magazine worth about $20 and a free electronic version of the book, which will be sent out to you on November 6th, the day the book releases. This is also when the retailers will send it to you as well. So this is a way that you can get the book early, be one of the very first to do it. Of course, it'll be in major retailers all over the country, Walmart and Sam's. Today, I got an email from my staff that Costco came in at the last minute with a very substantial order. We're just glad that the book is getting out there. I think there's a lot of interest in Donald Trump. The book is about all of the aftershocks since his election. You know, his election was like an earthquake, but all the things that have happened, including disrupting the deep state, the pushback from the left, which I call America at war with itself, the billionaire radicals that are trying to influence our government and our culture, that's all in there. But also his accomplishments, all of the things that he's accomplished, including the booming economy and moving the embassy to Jerusalem and what I call muscular diplomacy and how he's dealt with North Korea and other countries. So check out the website, check out the book, and now listen to the second half of the interview in which I go into some of the things that I've been talking about. I hope you enjoy this. I think that Hamilton Strategies did a fantastic job, and be sure to share this with your friends.
With most major media and the establishment fighting against Donald Trump, how does he continue to defend himself and his presidency?
Donald Trump is one of the strongest people, strongest leaders that I have ever seen. We haven't had a president like him since maybe Abraham Lincoln, who everybody was against Abraham Lincoln. You know, we have him way up on a pedestal, and I believe we should. I believe he was perhaps our greatest president. But he was hated, so much so that 400,000 Americans lost their lives in a bloody civil war. Hopefully we're not headed toward that, but Donald Trump is hated just like that. But you know what? He knows what he believes. He's willing to stand for it, and he doesn't cave in. Generally, those on the right, when they're attacked by the left, and they will be attacked, they try to make nice with the left. They kind of apologize, and they move a little bit to the left as if they're paying penance for whatever the left didn't like. Donald Trump has said, this is nonsense. He's put an end to political correctness in a lot of ways. I mean, he's coined expressions like the fake news media that's actually entered into the vocabulary. When he says Pocahontas, everybody knows he's talking about Senator Elizabeth Warren. I mean, you know, and here, Senator Warren is a very, very liberal senator, but the fact is she lied about being a Native American, and he's kind of calling her out. You know, there are a lot of us that say, hip, hip, hooray. I mean, finally, somebody's standing up to these people. And Donald Trump, I don't know, it's almost like a God-given gift in a way that he stands up. Now, does he tweet things that make us cringe sometimes? Well, probably a few times. Although I think that a lot of times at his tweets that he has a purpose in it that most of us can't see. So, for example, when he tweeted that Kim Jong-un was Little Rocket Man, I mean, there were those saying, oh, war is going to start at any moment. But he was playing chess when everybody else is playing checkers, and he could see the moves down the line, and he had a strategy, and his strategy worked or seems to be working in that instance, and there are many other examples of that, many of which I go to in my book, Trump Aftershock.
In Trump Aftershock, you describe Barack Obama's stay-behind network and why he is still in Washington, D.C. What is Obama doing today to undermine the Trump presidency? How is he being funded?
Well, the book, Trump Aftershock, goes into a lot of that. George Soros and other billionaire radicals are funding a lot of this unrest that you see. I mean, when these demonstrators show up the next day, a lot of them have been bussed in. This was organized ahead of time. These are not spontaneous kinds of things. Of course, we have to speculate on a lot of things. We have to look at the facts and try to connect the dots to see what's going on. Most presidents fade into the woodwork. You know, this is kind of presidential protocol. George W. Bush did that. Really, all the predecessors did that. Obama wanted to have a third term. He actually floated the idea, but we would have had to have had a constitutional amendment, and I guess he figured out that two-thirds of the state were not willing to change the Constitution so he could stay in office. So instead, he set up shop in Washington, D.C., and he's doing all kinds of things to keep things stirred up. Of course, he's doing a lot of it sort of below the radar screen so that he isn't blasted for it. But, you know, as we speak, he's on the campaign trail endorsing all these Democratic candidates, which should not be a surprise because he's a Democrat. But he's endorsing candidates known to be socialists. And who thought that a socialist could ever get elected in America? And someone said that the only difference between a socialist and a communist is that a communist has a gun. And I think it's a scary day. And the left is going further and further left. I personally think, and I document this in the book as well, that they are shooting themselves in the foot. But if they don't, it's scary for America because the pendulum tends to swing from one party to the other. And if these socialists get into power, eventually, the Democrats will have the White House again and one or both houses of Congress. So that is why, as I'm going around and doing media interviews, as I'm writing, as I'm speaking at conferences, I'm encouraging people who are like-minded to get out and vote. We have to get our constituency, the base, out and vote so that these people cannot take over. And Donald Trump is very, very strong, but he can't do it all alone. And we need to give him a House and a Senate that will actually back the things he's trying to do.
Give some specifics on how President Trump is undermining the left's agenda of restricting religious freedom, dividing Americans along racial lines, and undermining the moral underpinnings of our nation. Do you believe this is why the left is so angry?
Well, I believe that one of the reasons the left is angry is because he is undoing a lot of the things they did. We've talked about him putting the kind of judges in that support the Constitution. A lot of these things that the judges were doing undermine religious freedom and Christian values were really against the Constitution. They were kind of inventing things as they go along. He is also doing things like stopping the Johnson Amendment, which kind of put a muzzle on churches. He told the IRS not to enforce it through a presidential order, which is good as long as he's in the White House. And he is working with Congress to change the law permanently. These are just two examples. Overseas, there's an awful lot of religious persecution. The Obama administration turned a blind eye as if it wasn't happening. Donald Trump is sticking his neck out. I mean, the relationship with Turkey is very tense because they are holding an American missionary hostage, and he is insisting that they let him go. They said he was a spy. He was not a spy, and it's become an international thing. And interesting thing is that their currency, the lira, has plummeted. Their stock market has plummeted because of some of the sanctions that Donald Trump did to support one missionary. Think about it. And that's just one example of many that I go into in my book.
You make some very bold statements in the book comparing Donald Trump to Winston Churchill and General Patton. Tell us more about how his situation compares to these great leaders.
Well, I compare Donald Trump to Winston Churchill because Winston Churchill had a sense of destiny. And he was also not a very popular person. You know, the Brits really didn't even like him until they needed someone very, very strong when it looked like they were going to be overtaken by the Nazis. He was a person that the Christian community didn't like. The conservative Christians of the day in Britain didn't like him because he loved his cigars and he loved his brandy. He started to drink in the morning, and by 8 o'clock at night, he couldn't even do business. But yet he was strong. And the point is that God uses whom he wills, often people that are very flawed. This happened again and again in the Bible. Winston Churchill was very flawed, but yet God seemed to raise him up to save Western civilization. The same thing with Patton. Patton had a foul mouth and a real problem with anger, and yet he was one of the best generals we ever had. And in World War II, in that very, very dark hour, he won. And he also, I tell the story in the book, you know, it's fairly well known if you study history, but before the Battle of the Bulge, it was winter, the weather was horrible, there was terrible fog, they couldn't even really move, and he ordered his chaplains to write a prayer that God would lift the fog. He ordered his soldiers to stand in formation and recite the prayer. Now, people from my Christian tradition, which is more charismatic and Pentecostal, we don't pray like that. But in a lot of churches, they read their prayers. And I guess this is what the chaplain, what Patton, and these soldiers prayed this prayer. And God answered the prayer, as he has answered prayer so many times. And I just admire this man who is not known to be a religionist at all for praying. And it was a turning point. It was a pivotal point in World War II. And Donald Trump is not known to be religious. In fact, Robert Jeffress, the pastor of the great First Baptist Church in Dallas, who I interviewed for the book and who also endorsed the book, said this: Donald Trump may not be the most religious president we've ever had, but he is certain the most pro-religion. And I believe that Pastor Jeffress is right.
What is one thing Americans should know about Donald Trump that you have uncovered in your research?
Well, in God and Donald Trump, I document the fact that he was raised a Presbyterian by his mother, who is a very staunch Presbyterian, really believed the Bible. You know, there are conservative Presbyterians today, but many of them are very, very liberal. Donald Trump didn't grow up that way. He was actually confirmed to the Presbyterian Church. He was raised a very devout Presbyterian. He went through confirmation. You can't go through confirmation in the Presbyterian Church without knowing the Bible and, you know, the way to salvation, really. And while he got away from it as an adult, it left a basis. And most people don't know that about him. He was also strongly influenced by Norman Vincent Peale, who influenced me through his books, and I had the opportunity one time to meet him, made a big impact on him. But Norman Vincent Peale actually wrote in a couple of his books about this young businessman named Donald Trump, who was a good example of positive thinking. And I think that that shaped Donald Trump, and that as he got older, as he started thinking about how he was going to spend the rest of his life, about 15 years ago, he became much more serious. He started listening to Christian TV late at night. I have documented that he told Kenneth and Gloria Copeland he watched them. He told David Jeremiah he watched his show all the time. And we know that he watched Paula White because he actually contacted her ministry and said that he watched her and he had some questions about God and would she meet with him. And so these kinds of things are largely not known. They're not in the other books on Trump. And I felt there was an untold story that needed to be told.
Please tell our listeners how they can get a copy of the book, Trump Aftershock.
Well, my book, Trump Aftershock, comes out on Election Day, November 6th. It'll literally be in the stores a week or so before that. And the big stores like Barnes & Noble and Walmart and even Sam's and Costco have taken in huge quantities. They'll be in a lot of stores across the country. That's one of the best ways to get it. And I'm just hoping that the books will fly off the shelf. But people can also pre-order, and there are several ways. We have a website called TrumpAftershock.com, the name of the book. TrumpAftershock.com. There's actually several ways that you can click and order it online, either from BarnesandNoble.com or Amazon.com or ChristianBookDistributors.com or from us, our own publishing house. And If they do that, there are some other free things they can get. They can also download a chapter number 10, called America at War with Itself, which I think is one of the strongest chapters. And so there's lots of ways that they can order the book ahead of time. Of course, it'll be sent to them when the book finally releases. And already we're getting a lot of interest, people going on Amazon, the numbers are starting to go up. So we're very, very encouraged about this new book.
Steve, thank you so much for joining us today. We are praying for you and your book and our nation on this election day.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.